Hey there, friends. Pastor Chris back with you in Hebrews 7. And we left off with hope. God will keep his word. Our hope in God's promise is sure. And in 6:19, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. That's the power of real hope, an anchor for the soul to keep us from drifting. And along with that riveting image, the preacher introduces two core concepts that will drive the next four chapters. That hope enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain where our forerunner, Jesus, has entered on our behalf. He has become a high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. Two essentials, the high priest and the inner sanctuary. If the Old Testament was laid out like a treasure map, the center of absolutely everything would be the inner sanctuary of the tabernacle, the Holy of Holies, at the heart of the Promised Land, on top of Mount Zion, at the heart of the temple itself. God told Moses, "There I will meet with you." Every feast, sacrifice, offering, ceremony, anything that called the people to draw near to God, drew them here, the inner sanctuary. But none could enter, save one, the high priest. That's why we're camping on the topic. It's all about drawing near to God. High priest might not mean much to you, but if the words, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," mean something, this is important. How do you draw near to God? That is the question. No one comes to the Father except through. This chapter is all about who goes at the end of that sentence. See, hope is all about destination. I'm not there yet, but I'm heading there. And knowing my destination keeps me from drifting. Hope perseveres. It makes the trials of today not worth comparing with what's ahead. The destination makes the journey worth taking. Now in chapter 7, our journey to understanding all this begins with one curious name, Melchizedek. You might think me dramatic, but Melchizedek is that character. Every great saga has that one obscure mystery character, the one that separates normal fans from Comic-Con super geeks. The next time you watch Lord of the Rings with friends, casually mention Tom Bombadil. And if you thought Yoda was mysterious, try Yaddle. Who is Yaddle? Who is Kaiser Soze? Exactly. That's who Melchizedek is for Bible geeks. He's that guy, the character no one talks about, but everyone asks about Bruno. Today, we talk about Bruno. A little warning. The next few chapters are a deep dive into Old Testament treasures, but there is gold in those depths. So get your dive gear on and let's jump in. Verse 1. This Melchizedek was king of Salem and priest of God Most High. He met Abraham returning from the defeat of the kings and blessed him, and Abraham gave him a tenth of everything. The story is found in Genesis 14, and what you just heard is almost the whole thing. Abraham's nephew Lot was captured in the great battle of four kings against five. Abraham mustered his men and set out to rescue Lot. He routed them, saved Lot, and returned. Then, seemingly out of nowhere, Melchizedek appeared with bread and wine and blessed Abraham with a beautiful blessing. And Abraham gave him a tithe offering. And that's it. End of story. What does it mean? Every Hebrew in the preacher's audience has been asking that same question for years. So the preacher explains. He starts with two big hints from Genesis in the meaning of the names. First, the name Melchizedek means king of righteousness. Who could that be? Then he was also king of a town called Salem, which was probably pre-Jerusalem. And king of Salem means king of peace. If I say king of peace, who am I talking about? Yeah, Jesus. So, is Melchizedek Jesus? Maybe. That's the mystery. He's a real man in Abraham's story. But some scholars say Melchizedek was in fact Jesus showing up in the flesh to bless Abraham. Others say he's not actual Jesus, but a type of Jesus. That means he foreshadowed and pictured Jesus, God's way of hinting at Messiah. We'll ponder that as we go. But the key here is what we learn about Jesus. Ponder about Melchizedek, learn about Jesus. Deal? Good. In verse 3, the preacher tells us that Melchizedek had no mom and dad. He's either saying we don't know his lineage, or he literally has none. We have no record of his birth or his death, without beginning of days or end of life, resembling the Son of God. He remains a priest forever. In other words, his story never ended. A priest of God Most High just showed up. No beginning, no end. Total mystery. And all those mysterious elements point to Jesus, that Jesus is priest forever. Verse 4. Just think how great he was. Even the patriarch Abraham gave him a tenth of the plunder. So Abraham tithed to Melchizedek. In Old Testament law, God's people all tithed to the Levite priests. For all the Jews listening to the preacher, the Levites were their connection to God. God's law said so. But Melchizedek wasn't a Levite. Levi didn't exist yet. So how was he a priest? Abraham tithed and Melchizedek gave the blessing. In verse 7, and without doubt, the lesser is blessed by the greater. In other words, Melchizedek is greater than Abraham. That's a big statement. All the Israelites, including all the priests, came from Abraham. But even Abraham had a priest. And in verse 8, the Levites die, but Melchizedek is declared to be living. For those stuck on the law and the rule that a priest must be a Levite, the Levites, in a way, tithe to Melchizedek through Abraham. In verse 11, the preacher digs in on the Levites, for those Jews who just feel drawn back. They were raised on it. This is how they draw near to God, through the Levites. But the law and Levites were never God's full plan. They would never bring perfection, never complete their journey to God. But hold on. All this from one little story? Did God have all this planned way back in Genesis? But then, after 1,000 years of silence on Melchizedek, God stirred the mind of King David, and he wrote a psalm about Messiah, Psalm 110. With one mysterious line, just one, and another 1,000 years later, the Holy Spirit inspired our preacher to see it. Every prophecy of Messiah cast their eyes forward, but this one curious line in Psalm 110, a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek, it's Bible. It was always God's plan. In verse 12, God's plan was for a new priesthood and a new law. Now the preacher knows what they're thinking. Jesus can't be priest because he's not a Levite. He's from Judah. The preacher says yes. That's the point. This is new, but it was always the plan. In verse 16, Jesus wasn't made priest on the basis of ancestry, but on the basis of the power of an indestructible life. That is how Jesus qualifies. He fits the priest forever prophecy because his life was indestructible. Man, I love that. The preacher explains that the law had to be replaced. Its purpose was to point us forward. In verse 19, for the law made nothing perfect. That's crucial. God's law could never finish the work. You following rules, even God's rules, will never make you perfect, never bring you into God's presence. Back in verse 19, and a better hope is introduced, by which we draw near to God. That's the heart of the whole thing. Draw near to God. It's what the priests tried to do for the people, but never quite arrived. But Jesus is forever. God swore it, quoting Psalm 110, The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever. Don't swerve. Don't drift. This is God's plan forever. The Levite priests, they couldn't last. In verse 23, death prevented them from continuing in office. But because Jesus lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. There it is. No one comes to God except through Jesus. And when you do, he is able to save completely. He began a good work in you, and he will complete it. No other priest, no other prophet, king, hero, savior can finish God's work in you. Hold fast to Jesus. He is the one we need. In verse 26, holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens. In verse 27, every other high priest is a sinner. They sacrificed every day to cover their own sins, then ours. Jesus sacrificed himself, and it covered us forever. He rescued us from the sin, repent, repeat cycle. He rescued us from the endless cycle of sin, repent, repeat. Read Hebrews 7. Draw near to God through Jesus and anchor here. And I'll meet you back here in chapter 8.
Join us next time on Through the Word as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. Start your own journey through the Bible with our web and mobile apps at throughtheword.org. Our apps are free, so tell a friend. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.